We do welcome you and appreciate your being here today. I think one of the fun things to do in life is to share church memories. Probably if all of us could interact in some kind of discussion where we just sat together and talked about those things that we remember about church, maybe growing up or in various kinds of places in your life. The reason I put this slide up is that's kind of the picture I have in mind when I think about my early childhood experiences. We spent summers with my grandfather, as I've told you many times, and Saturday afternoon was get ready for church. We'd all go up to the church building. I don't know if anybody else has this experience or not. I've never had anybody say so, but I'd appreciate the feedback. My grandfather would take this red, oily sawdust and sprinkle it all over this wooden floor. And he'd give my cousin and I a broom, and he was to do one side and I was to do the other. I think it attracted the dirt and various things that were there. My grandfather would then go outside and fool with the air conditioners, not air conditioners, those old water coolers is a better way to describe it. My grandmother would go to the table and set out the wooden utensils that would be used for communion and then place in them those glass communion cups that she would take home the next day and wash and bleach and bring back the next Sunday. And that's a positive experience. That's a positive memory. I would guess that a lot of people, when they look back on church experience in their life, especially that young element, that earlier time, that experience can kind of bring a smile to our face. And then life steps in. And we really don't have the time to do church like we used to, or like maybe we'd even want to. And people frequently say to me, why don't we have it at a better hour of the day on Sunday? Well, we could have it anytime we want. If we just kind of get into the tradition of having it early in the morning, maybe it would be better if others would meet at different kinds of time. But a lot of folks, their weeks are pretty busy. Saturday's gotten filled up. And so Sunday comes along and there's really not a lot of time left. And so time becomes such a pressure in our lives that one of the things that we can easily take out in order that we'll have a little bit more time is to take away the church experience. And we can say to ourselves, well, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual. It doesn't mean that I'm not godly. It doesn't mean that I'm not connected to God. And all of those things are true. But there's value in coming to church. There are other people, and probably all of us, again, if I could ask you to hold up your hands, I won't. But if I could ask you to hold up your hands, everybody in here who's been hurt by a person at church, my guess would be that it would be pretty close to unanimous. That's something that happens to us when we get involved with church. When we get involved with church family, there's some pain that goes there. I got something I want to share with you this morning. If you don't know it already, there are a lot of messed up people at church. A lot of folks that have a lot of problems. Now, sometimes we don't want people to know that. We kind of act like everything's okay. We act like everything's good. We act like everything really is going along swell for us when we're hurting inside. There's difficult things going on there. And this morning when you think of church experience, it might come back to your mind, well, there's hurt there, and I've been hurt there. The reality is, churches are made up of imperfect people. We're trying to be better, but we haven't achieved that yet. Martin Luther King, in not a quote that he originated himself, he's actually quoting a preacher of the time when he would say, we ain't what we ought to be, we ain't what we want to be, we ain't what we're going to be, but thank God we ain't what we was. And that's really what it's all about. We aren't there, but hopefully we're moving in that direction, and hopefully we're getting better all the time. We can help each other, and we can be an aid and an assistance to each other if we'll do that. Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And probably all of us can look at that verse and say, you know, I get it. But what's so encouraging to me is This is an apostle. This is an apostle making this statement. He's talking about his frailty. He's talking about his imperfection. He's talking about the fact that he doesn't get it right. And there are times he looks back and says, I didn't want to do that, but I did it anyway. And he recognizes that because of God's grace, because of the blood of Christ, these things are taken away from us. There's a passage that you've heard a lot. It's from Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24 and going down through verse 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Unfortunately, you may have heard this verse delivered or presented or said to you in a negative way. You know, do not give, quit meeting together. You know, God says you have to be there, and whether you like it or not, you better suit up and show up, because that's just the way it is. And we've kind of tried to force people in that direction. But look at that verse more carefully. There's just that one sentence, that one phrase actually, that can be turned in that direction. But look at all the positive that's around it. There are positive reasons for us being here. We can spur one another on toward love. We can spur one another on toward good works. We see acts of love. We see great acts of deeds or kindness that take place in other people. And because of that, we're encouraged to go on and move in that direction. Encouraging one another. It's encouraging just to find people that meet together. You can go to Europe today and you can visit a lot of empty churches. We've seen what happened on the other side of the ocean. And the statistics point in exactly the same direction for our country. We're just a few decades behind. Unless we say to ourselves, no, this is worthwhile. It's encouraging to see people at church. It's encouraging to see you here today. It's discouraging sometimes when others are not involved in attending. Simply because it just builds us up, it lifts us up. We have opportunities to come here and to lift each other. I can encourage you, you can encourage me. This can be an encouraging time. Probably again, we can think of times when encouragement has been a very strong part of that process. It's about the relationships. It's about the relationship that we have with God, but it's also about the relationship we have with each other. I like this picture of the church. Because it's not the building, it's the people. And they're very subtly saying it's not the facility, but it's the souls that make up that place. And another symbol of that exact kind of situation. There's a lot of valuable. God asked us to come together, not to see if we would, not to see if that was a commandment that we could carry out, but because he knew that it would be good for us. We build those connections that we need. And you could come to church week in and week out and think, you know, I'm really not getting anything out of that. But you can always find that person who's gone through a life crisis and who says, that network of church family was absolutely critical in my life. When I was ill, when I was destitute, when somebody in my family died, when I really had this incredible need, then the people were there. There are a lot of precious people at church. Not perfect people, but precious people. And again, we can flood our minds with those images of folks who've just really touched us in a lot of ways. Sometimes people say, well, I don't get anything out of church. And an interesting way to look at that is, but what are other people missing because they're not getting things from you? You have something to share. You have something to contribute. And other people are blessed because you're willing to make that connection. Some of the best moments of my life are with church people. Not necessarily in the church building, but with church people. Times when people were kind. Times when people were sacrificial. Times when people showed that they really cared. Times of great crisis. Times of threat. the prayers and the uplifting and the strengthening and all of those multitude of things that come to us because of our church family. God wanted us to be family because He knew that we'd be blessed by that process. When we participate in church, we work together with God. And you might like to garden. And when you garden, you feel like, hey, we're kind of in this project, this cooperative project with God. As a parent, when you're raising children, it feels like a cooperative process with God because it is. And when we come together as a body, when we come together as believers, when we demonstrate to the world and we encourage each other, we're in a cooperative effort with God. And that feels good because God intends for that to happen in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, "And before the world was made, God decided to make us His own children through Jesus Christ. This was what God wanted, and it pleased Him to do it." It's not a negative. It's a positive. God wanted to do it. It's a pleasure to do it. And the relationships that we establish with God and with each other can certainly be a pleasure as well. We're going to have an invitation song. That invitation gives an opportunity for anybody who might have a need that needs to be expressed to this church body. If we can help you address any spiritual need, we'd be glad to while we sing this song together.